Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Kirk Gray.
Hey, Kirk, you're from Texas, right?
Yes. I'm glad I'm not in Texas, but yes, I was born in Dallas, and I spent a lot of time in Austin, Texas, getting my electrical engineering degree at the University of Texas. And then later, coming back in 2003 to work for Dell Computers, which then became Dell. Everybody's been following the news recently that...
This is going to come out, I think, almost 3 weeks from when we record it. So, last month, we should say. Last month, if you were following the news.
Texas got hit, of course, with a bizarre, and I lived there a long time, lots of years, and it's never happened. And, you know, this is like a 1 in 100 year kind of event. A lot of people attributing to global warming, but the a freezing mass came down in Austin and Texas,
all the way down to Houston.
An independent, all the way down to Houston, right? And the big difference was from typical Texas cold fronts is it was sustained for several days below freezing.
Right, it wasn't just a overnight down to -0 or down to zero and then back up by 10 o'clock back above freezing. It was a day's worth of cold.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is kind of an outlier. You know, this is the kind of thing that you say, well, that'll never happen when you're building a wind. Well, in Texas, you know, we do have wind turbines, for instance, that operate in South Dakota at minus degrees, whatever. Yeah. They're built for that. Okay. Well, I guess to weatherize the ones that would be to do that, probably adds expense. I don't really know about wind turbines, but you know that. But Texas only relies 25% of their total energy on wind turbine or wind energy. So a lot of people were complaining that the turbines failed, and that might be the case because they really weren't built, and nobody would expect. Just like all the houses, my house down in Austin I was living in that I owned for 13 years, I wouldn't want to be there to. Be there last month, you know, when it was freezing and all the pipes because you couldn't keep the heat on. And I lived in an all electric house. They had all these grid power failures. Now, Texas is very independent with their electricity. So they decided they weren't going to connect with other states and into the national grid. Mm-hmm. And that became a big issue. That was a choice they made for probably political reasons, whatever. And it resulted in a very costly event, very damaging. In fact, people died.
Well, last I heard, it was like 80 people were deaths. 80 deaths were attributed to the cold snap.
It was really seriously terrible. And now, you know, they're asking for plumbers from all over to come down.
Bring your masks and get to work.
Because the sustained cold really didn't allow people to keep their house warm enough and their pipes warm enough. And you saw pictures of, you know, ceiling fans and faucets with frozen icicles on them and things like that down there. My brother is actually down there around Lake Travis. He lives on Lake Travis. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, he was only a part of the rolling blackouts. Now, the rolling blackouts shut down for an hour. So it allowed him to at least for a period of time I'd keep a house temperature up enough to not cause
that. It
wasn't
a problem then, yeah. Now, we obviously don't have the full story of what happened, but there's all kinds of stuff. And the telling one that brings it to my mind is they have a commission, like most power grids have, is they have some group or body that says, we're the energy reliability group or committee or whatever.
And it's got reliability. Their name.
It's got reliability in the name of it. And the idea is, and you see it all the time in press releases, you know, San Diego Power reliability is at this point. And it's it's not really a proper use of the word reliability. It's more availability. We're providing power if you need it. It's there. And we have, you know, do it most hours of the year kind of thing. And when it goes out, it's a problem. And so right. power outages invoke then a bunch of repair processes and everything else. But they had all kinds of cascading problems. And some of it was they're isolated. Some of it was, you know, parts of their system failed or were taken offline. And it wasn't just wind turbines. I understand it was also
gas
lines and valves were freezing. I mean, for right. and it's like it's not like Wisconsin goes blackout every winter and they have 3-4 months of below zero weather, not just a week. It's but there's a difference in application and building it. And like homes in right. Colorado, I right. bet you your pipes are insulated or in places where they right. will stay.
Or we have freeze. Right. We have freeze proof faucets that are the valve is set way back from the house yeah. wall. And so it adds expense. So, you know, to build all the houses to withstand a sustained especially down in Houston, which is never rarely ever sees freezing temperatures.
Right. Not for any sustained part.
Hardly ever. Right.
But the issue is that this wasn't unknown. There have been pockets and indicators that this is susceptible. And it's been building over the last 10, 15 years. And over the regulators and the grid producers are saying, no, we're trying to keep costs down. We're trying to make it easy. We're trying to be profitable, blah, 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 blah. And there's what I saw in some of the reports coming out is that every single one of the failures that they had experienced before and disregarded the recommendations to make it more robust. And part of it is profit. Part of it is that we don't want to raise our rates because it's already very expensive. And two is, well, that'll never happen here. This, you know, they're on the bandwagon that, you know, the weather is going to be, it's no big deal. That's just a myth or whatever their story was, you know, but they were basically ignoring it until they get a wake up call. And didn't you mentioned it was, we were talking about this just briefly, is that oversight committee, what was the name of it?
Electric Reliability Council of Texas.
Right. Didn't they all like quit or get fired or something like that?
No, they all quit.
It's like, not our fault, man. Not our fault. You can't take me down.
What I heard is, the board, a lot of the board members didn't live in Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're in it for the money.
Hey, I don't want anything to do with this. You know?
Yeah.
We are up, you know, maybe they're up in Minnesota and they
they got power. They're looking at
it. This kind of parallels a customer using a product. We would call it abuse. Mm-hmm. You can't use it in that environment, you know? Well, I ended up in that environment, you know,
that's right.
and how much do you account for an extremely rare event or a rare event, even though
Oklahoma is not that far away from a lot of Texas. Right. And they get freezing weather. They didn't have near the power disruption and blackouts that Texas did. And some of it is because of the isolated grid. Oklahoma is able to bring in right. power to supplement right. their demand.
Exactly.
But I lived in Oklahoma. I lived in Texas, not near as long as you have. But I remember snow on the ground near Austin. And I remember standing guard duty at 2 a.m. And it's bloody freezing. And I'm from Wisconsin. It was cold. My coffee froze in my mug. You know,
I think it's interesting because the air density, of course, here at 5,300 feet, whatever,
yeah, in Colorado.
And so
yeah.
you see people walking around, at least some of the kids walking around in shorts at 45 degrees.
Oh,
but in
balmy.
Texas,
yeah.
that would kill you.
Yeah.
And you know, because of the air density and the ability to remove heat much faster in
That's
Texas.
Right. That's right.
Plus, possibly the humidity, which, you know, makes the air have a better.
So you're going with the Texas does cold better. Is that what you're saying? Is everything's bigger and better in Texas? So it's a bigger cold.
Everything's colder in Texas.
It's a bigger cold.
It's cold. It gets a lot colder than you'd ever expect. And we, you know, my daughter and I always talk about how, wow, in Texas, you'd be dead right now. People at minus, you know, 10, where we can go out, it would just be, it would be brutal.
It was brutal. But it's not the, people, you know, build it. Part of it is the coding system, and part of it is the, you know, yeah, that if I insulate that line, I mean, I insulated my hot water lines in my house here in California just to save the heating of the water because it cools off. And I talked to the plumbers, do I really need to insulate the cold side? And he goes, it's under the house. It's under your boards that are, you know, it's protected. But it's the same rationale as much of Texas is the chance of you getting a sustained cold that can freeze that pipe is very rare. Now, should I go buy some insulating stuff for, you know, $40 and go stick it on there? You know, I'm thinking about it because our weather is, I mean, last month in late January, we had 70 plus degree Fahrenheit weather for a week. And then we went into a cold snap where it was, you know, in the upper 30s, low 40s kind of thing. Yeah. For us, that's cold here where I live.
Right.
But we're just getting more and more variable. And I think that's what strikes.
I think this is happening surprise in the world.
Texas. Yeah. And it's around the world. But this has been coming for years. And I think combined with localized problems and then those fixes being those recommendations for fixes being ignored. It's like our last discussion, Kirk, where we talked about when do you stop improving your product is, well, when you get to the limit, you know, and it's a balance of what are the risks and what do you need to do to provide service? And they ignored it,
right?
As far as I'm concerned, and I'm judge and jury here. They ignored it and they paid it.
We don't build smartphones to withstand 100 feet underwater pressure, you know, even though
unless it's
they will be dropped in a lake. Okay. Yeah. There are ways, but you know, you pay a lot more for that.
Yeah.
It was interesting though. I had the failure. I did have a water burst just last week here, even when your house is built, right. You know, there, I think some insulation was left out of, an overhang and to an outside, faucet that I rarely ever use, but, it was the pipe ran along the basement or the joist very near the outside wall, and actually the burst came in a section that wasn't near the outside wall. It was down below, and I believe it was due to insulation being missing. You know, the R30 material, and just a slow draft on that section of pipe caused it to freeze.
Yep.
I was so lucky to be here in the room next door when I heard the shower
water running going. We don't have a bathroom down here to do that.
Yeah, we don't have a shower over my bed normally.
Yeah,
so I was able to cut off the house water, and then the next problem that Texas is having right now is finding a plumber because we had minus 14, which is
it's chilly,
pretty
it's
cold, still pretty cold. You know, we don't sustain that real long in Colorado, even though we have it.
Yeah.
Well, that froze the pipe, and then when we warmed up a little the next days or two, that section where the ice was blocking the burst pipe opened up.
Melted and, and released the pressure on it.
Being an engineer, even though I'm electrical, and this was a pipe,
same thing.
I had to repair it myself, and I just cut off the end and put on a little cap, and that allowed us to have house water. But I can understand the frustration of the people in Texas who don't have that skill and having to deal with now multiple, you know, cascading. As we have a failure in our system, sometimes it causes cascading problems.
Oh, yeah.
The water in the house causes electrical shorts, maybe causes, you know. So it's compounded pretty much. But the worst part is, of course, human deaths and people.
Do you think they're going to actually rebuild their system more robustly, or are they just going to rebuild their system?
Oh, you know, it's a good question, Fred. It'll be interesting to see how they follow this up because, you know, will they be anticipating that this is going to be a future environmental condition?
Well, I'm thinking of the California story with wildfires. Our power grid operators, PG&E, is where in this area I'm in. In much of Northern California, is it took them getting sued a couple of years in a row for their big transmission lines failing and causing wildfires that killed lots of people and burned lots of, caused lots of destruction. And they ended up getting sued. And it's not, and now they do blackouts, preventative blackouts to say, well, there's a high wind event. Our lines may cause fire, so we're just not going to energize them. So we get blacked out last spring or last fall, I don't know, on the order of a week.
And do you have a generator?
No. Just deal with it. I got a week.
You were out without power for a week?
Yeah. And sometimes it's 3 days, and sometimes they say this could take 7 to 10 days. It's kind of and they're getting better at it. The first year they did it, it was longer. And, you know, you drive down into town where they have power, and you charge up, and you use your phone, and get on with it. But it's the idea is that the reliability of the grids, here in California, they were saying it was a deferred maintenance problem. They were putting off repairing and maintaining these lines that were failing and these transformers that were sparking fires because they got a lot of them and they didn't have a lot of money or they didn't feel that was important. And so, and they were starting hundreds of fires per year. Now, it just happened that the weather has changed. So we get these pretty massive sustained winds that we've had, you know, once in a while in the past, but not like recently. And one of them was directly linked to one of their systems failing, causing the fire, and it burned down a town kind of thing. Paradise, California. And so they got sued big time. And what their assessment was is that it will take them 15 to 30 years to bring the maintenance of their systems up to where it's fire resistant and their processes for maintaining it up to a level where they can keep up with it. And they declared bankruptcy and went through receivership and all other stuff and came back out of it. But they're paying billions to deal with this. And we see them all the time now in our neighborhood and around our areas, clearing lines and updating equipment. They're spending billions to do it. But it took them getting an event like in Texas where it just cascade failed and killed people. And unfortunately, why do we have to, this is my whole point for bringing this thing up, Kirk. I wait until the last to dump it on here, is why do we have to wait to learn the hard way? Why do we have to wait until we have a major issue to get our attention that our system's not robust? We got to fix that. And I know you don't ever want to waste a good emergency, but the idea is that we didn't have to do that. We really could have prevented this. Both the California fires and the power outages in Texas, they both were preventable.
They both were preventable. It's really hard to say that, you know, you ought to build everything. I mean, again, like the Fukushima reactor in Japan and its failure because of a very unusual, unique event of a tsunami hitting and the placement of where they had the backup generators getting flooded. And, you know, yeah, I'm sure they would have built it different if they anticipated a 12-foot high or 30-foot high tsunami coming in and washing over the plant.
Right.
But again, how much do you pay for a very rare event? And this is probably... certainly 7 inches of snow, some of my friends down there reported, in Austin is incredibly unusual. And more than 3 days under 32 degrees freezing is a very rare event. Yeah. And so, you know, again, it's like when we talk about the use of a product, how robust do we make it? Because it's going to cost us. Sometimes it's going to cost us more.
Right.
Some things don't cost a lot other than rearranging.
But I'm thinking of, and you've worked with medical device companies, right?
Yes.
And especially if there's something that causes harm to a patient or could kill a patient.
Oh, man.
Then the concern there is that we need to drive that to the lowest possible, technically lowest feasible or whatever the right terminology is.
Right.
We need to reduce the risk of that failure occurring to the absolute minimum. is that we're technically capable of providing. And that's where I think, like the hospitals in Texas and the airports in Texas, I mean, they have multiple grid lines coming into them, and many of them will have generators to keep essential services like the radars going, right, and life support systems going.
Right.
Right. So they've taken the extra effort to have a backup to the overall system. Right. Where I live, a lot of people do have generators now and run their household and keep the refrigerator cold and stuff like that, because right, we know we got these blackouts coming. Part right of it is that the reliability of our systems is contingent on having power more and more as we get more and more interconnected through networking systems and the internet and all those other features, both for work and for school and, well, all three, work, school, and entertainment. That right. What's happening, though, is that our power systems and that infrastructure has just not been keeping up with the increasing load and increasing variability of the stresses they see. Here in California, it's right temperatures and wind. And in Texas, they're experiencing, yeah, it's a rare event. But it, let's say it's not the entire state next month or next year. It's just Dallas. And they black right out for a week. And right, and they didn't fix anything. They didn't make anything more robust. There's going to be a different group of people on that committee resigning. And that's just not right. That's my
no,
point.
No, it's not right that we just quit. But, you know, one of the, I think the key here is and this is where technology can also solve it. And we're seeing this happen with I guess Tesla and or the battery and so the solar energy field is making a local battery, local reserve, which is maybe kind of like having a generator in your house, but having batteries, the battery, yeah, if all these houses had some kind of battery, huge battery supply, like I think Elon Musk's organizations are starting to make.
Well, they make one that's called it's a wall, but it's only good for like an hour or two for household running. It's not really to replace power for
an extended period of time. Well, they're trying to get that longer, yeah, so that your solar energy can be stored and you can use that overnight. Yes. Right. And they're going to get better at that.
And there's also fuel cells that are coming out that would be a localized right source of power for your home. And it's pretty cost effective.
Power storage
yep
would be a big solution to the problem of a variability of a reliability of the actual the grid supply. Mm-hmm. And of course, also connecting to other states that
well, there's all are kinds
more
of
weatherized
there,
would be helpful too. You know, yeah, and we'll see if Texas wants to do that now and say, you know, we're not always going to be by ourselves now. So
yeah, I doubt that's going to happen because they probably have different, it's like the railroads. They probably have their own unique gauge, you know, or whatever. Yeah. You can't connect to that. That'll blow everything up. You know,
goodbye. You would be surprised how much the Texas Railroad Commission controls in Texas. That has nothing to do with the railroad.
I was just being facetious there, but okay. That's
no,
amazing.
But it's pretty weird. I've, you know, anyway, right, so I wish
it's no laughing matter. I think we're having a good time here, but the idea is that
it's a serious problem, and it caused serious problems for people in Texas. And they may remove electrical reliability. They may have to remove reliability.
Yeah, from that's because they're obviously not doing that. But the point is that all of us can learn from that. As our environment changes, as our set of stresses change for our product. Let's say we're just going into a new market. What change, right, what are the changes in those stresses that's going to impact our ability of our product to perform or our system to perform? And it's no shortcut to that.
Adapting to that.
Yeah, there's no shortcut to it. You got to deal with it. And things will change. Right. Just because it worked last year doesn't mean it will work next year. Customers will use it in more robust ways or you know, harsher ways. Give it to a teenage girl, a phone, you'll find out real quick how long it'll last.
I've got a pile of them right here.
Yeah, that's right. I know you do. But that's the idea is that the takeaway here is that we're not living in a static world.
And we have to constantly
be adopting and improving your products. I think that's fundamental. So Anyway, right. If you happen to live in Texas and have a different view of that, or live somewhere else and have some insights on this, let us know. Or, you know, if you've got experiences with, you know, a localized disaster that somebody actually made a difference and made improvements on. I like hearing success stories. Head over right. to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR, and you can get in touch with us there and join the conversation. You can find Kirk and I and the other co-hosts for the show over on LinkedIn or on our About pages on Ascendo. And so, you know, with Kat, Kirk, you're not planning to go visit your brother in Texas anytime soon, are you? Take him a bag of power.
It would normally. It's nice to go down to Texas in the winter, and you know, it's a lot warmer. But in his case, they were a lot colder than you were up here in Colorado. So
I heard that Anchorage was even warmer.
I don't think he suffered any damage, but anyway, yeah, it's tough on my friends down there, and you know, I wish them the best in recovery, and certainly not getting hit with another wave before.
Yeah, not anytime soon. Cup. Let them get it fixed. Yeah, let them get them updated. All right, cool.
All right,
thanks, Kirk. I'll give you a hard time about Texas next opportunity. So. Talk to you later.
Take care. Yeah. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.